I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's welcome Good Chop and thank them for supporting the Morning Stream. Go to goodchop.com/morningstream120 and use the code MORNINGSTREAM120 to get $120 off your first four boxes.
There are a load of people that we like to thank for the continued existence of the Morning Stream, like Blair, Pelinor, and Kyle Derry. Be like them and sign up to patreon.com/TMS today. Coming up on TMS, unforeskin circumcisions.
Not a hole you want to get sand into.
I did my Googlest.
TMS, the Monday show on Tuesday.
I love fresh peas.
Wide ass IUD.
She was hogging the pigs.
Give peas a chance.
Sleeping with hands like a chicken.
Tom Hiddleston's voice up my hoo-ha.
Kidnappers are dicks.
You know him from such things as Canada.
Morse code.
Driving the tip into the ground.
Good night, Killian Murphy, with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Not 1 week has gone by, not 1 week without being bitten, spat, puked, or peed on.
Oh, that's what you sound like!
The Morning Stream
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, February 86th. That looked like an 8th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dibbitt. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Speaking of Scott Fletcher, he also played Unreal with us last night. That was pretty fun. Didn't expect him to pop
cool.
In. Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, as if you and Dunaway already weren't enough of a draw for me. Now this seals the deal.
Now this has happened. Yeah. And Amy joined us. We'll talk to her a little bit about it. But
oh, very cool.
She was often killing me. So thanks to her for all my deaths. And it was a really good time. We should get nice. More people in there. I think Brian expanded the server to be up to 32. Or something. Maybe 64. I can't remember what he did last night, but that game's rad. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of The Morning Stream. We hope you're all well and doing good. We're going to bring it to you hot and fast, you know?
That's right. While there's still steam coming off the top of it.
That's right.
How quickly we're going to bring it to you.
That's right. Ooh, speaking of which, I watched a guy today on a video. I was in bed, and I was like kind of just trying to slowly get up. And I check my phone and I'm like, what's this? Somebody shared it with me. That was my wife shared it with me. It's this dude who went and picked a bunch of peas fresh, a bunch of pods, dumped it all in a big bowl full of fresh peas, which is already, I love fresh peas. They're
yeah, so I do good. Too. Yeah.
Could just eat them by the handfuls, right?
Yeah.
He takes this thing and using all outdoor equipment, including a smoker to cook it. He cooks the peas down to make this what looked like the most amazing split pea soup you've ever seen in your freaking life.
Oh, wow.
And he grilled smoked. Bread
oh
for
God,
it.
Oh, my God, it'd be so good smoked.
Dude. Oh, Brian, it looks so good. Smoked. It just made me want it.
I want it so bad now.
Little bacon in there? Do you have any bacon?
No bacon, but it was something he put on top. I don't remember now what it was. It was one of these cooking videos where they don't tell you anything. It's just sounds and music.
Yeah.
Which are really popular right now where it's just sort of visceral, like... No, I wouldn't call it ASMR, but the sound of the process
there is
of making it.
A little bit of a, yeah, it's a kind of food porn, like cooking food porn kind of thing.
Yeah, I have a guy who does, another guy I follow who does PC breakdowns, like breaks down hardware, and he doesn't talk at all. It's just really intense recordings of the sound it all makes.
Right.
So when you pull a card out or pop a thing, and it's like these very, it's really good sound. Like it's not annoying or overmodulated. It's like he's got really good mics pointing at everything.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's just,
I need to show you. So I sent a video to Bill because basically I was like, okay, I want to do this. I'm going to put it in our Discord here. You can show it. This is, there's a Japanese company that produces LED signboards.
Oh, look at this.
And it's, again, it's a wordless video, and it just shows you the process. And I'm like, I could do this. Yeah. I could so totally do this.
Yeah, of course you could. I mean, look at it. They got the 3D, just regular 3D printing? Is that glass?
Regular 3D printing.
Okay.
They print the shell of the letter, and then they do like a semi-transparent resin fill on it, and then apply color to the back of that, and then put LED strips behind it, and it looks amazing.
Look at it.
I want to do something very simple. Like, I don't want to start with giant Coverville letters behind me. So maybe I'll, TMS, good three letters, good easy one to do. So maybe I'll I'll do this.
You could integrate our we had that logo with the big sun behind the clouds doing the face.
Yeah, this giant one that I have here next to me that is slightly out of frame. Yeah.
See, that would work.
That's
awesome. I'm just watching.
Yeah, isn't that cool? It looks so damn cool.
He's got one of those big fatty mice that helps your wrist not break or whatever. Do you see that? The big old hand.
Yes, right. The little vertical Logitech. Yeah.
I don't think I could use one. Like maybe I could get used to it. It just looks like it's
weird. Tried for a while because there was a while that I was having some real wrist problems, and so I picked one of those up and I was trying it out, and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool if I got used to it, if I had the time to get used to it, and did not continue using it and did not get better at using it.
Yeah, I sometimes have to put a brace on because I fold my hands at night, and this is literally like a grown-ass freaking middle-aged man sleeping with his hands like a chicken.
Yes, I see. I do the same thing. Like, I'm on my side, and I've got my hands curled up like this. I'm a freaking Siamese cat.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a fetus again. We're just like,
I will say, so you remember that that Philips headset thing that I picked up that looked like an IUD? I stand behind that.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Jerry Tolbert confirmed that it looks like an IUD, and
he's
one of the voices in this world I trust. So I've been using that with the Better Sleep app, right? So I put it on when I go to sleep. I have no problems falling asleep, but I put it on when I go to sleep. And in addition to music, the Better Sleep app also has Tired Tales or Sleep Tales or something like that. And there are these little stories, sometimes nonfiction, sometimes fiction. And it's somebody reading, and it's always the same thing. It's different voices, but it's always, all right, I'm going to tell you the story of Otis the cat.
Oh, yeah.
And
is it always an accent? It's like an accented person?
No, but there's a couple. The one I listened to last night had an accent. Before we get started with the story, push your head down into your pillow. Be comfortable. Wow. Pull the covers way up.
Wow.
Get warm. Now.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Yeah. This sounds like my jam.
Take a deep breath. This is about the time I fall asleep. I have not heard a single Sleep Tale story.
Oh, and it's sometimes
not a single one. Like, for whatever reason, I pick a different one every night, even though I'd never heard the previous one.
Yeah, yeah.
All I remember from Beauty and the Beast is the introduction where the woman describes the Beast's castle.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a German castle with snow on the...
Maybe your subconscious is fully aware of the rest of the story, and you know at some level you've heard
maybe,
it.
Although... You know, the one last night was about a cat that escaped out the door. Because I read the description, not because I heard the story, but because I read the description. A cat that goes around the neighborhood and discovers things because he got out the door. And who knows? Maybe in my head, maybe I subconsciously absorbed, like you said, absorbed the story.
Sure.
But I don't remember actually hearing the story.
You and I have exactly the flip side of the sleep issues. You get up. You don't sleep long, or you wake up too early, or you can't sleep middle of the night. I sleep fine once I'm asleep. It's the getting there I can't do, and you're really good at that. And I don't know why I can't do it. My brain's just like
before bed. I'll tell you what it is for me, and it's not this. It's not the little sleep headphones. It is the CPAP. The CPAP is basically because I never put the CPAP on recreationally, right? Like I'll sit and watch a movie, I'll read a book, and those are things that can, in the right circumstances, put me to sleep. But there's never a time that I say, you know what, I'm just going to put the CPAP on and hang out for a while. My body is trained that when that CPAP goes on my face, there's a countdown that starts, and it just knocks me right out.
It's almost like a mask with
like
before surgery,
chloroform in it or something.
Yeah. Like countdown from 100, sir, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. A little anesthesiologist up there saying, close your eyes, Brian. And
I want to go to my doctor and say, can I get a CPAP even though I don't need one? Like technically, I don't need one. Because I'd really, you know.
You could even just get the mask, but just, you know, it's that thing. And I'm sure Wendy would 100%. There's probably a term for this, but it's you're basically associating sleep with that feeling, and your body says, "Oh, there's that thing pressing on my face, zonk."
So really, all I need to do is come up with something that is the associative thing, right?
That you only associate with sleep, that you don't do any other time of the day, or don't ever do recreationally or whatever. Yeah. That you only use for sleep, and that will train you to sleep when you do that one thing.
A plastic Glad bag with no holes in it. That'd do it.
Yeah, there you go. That'll works every time.
Yeah, one time.
100% of the time works every time.
Yeah, it'll never not work if you keep it on. That's interesting. I didn't know that was a thing, but I currently have nothing to glom onto that makes me want to go to sleep. I just have this thing. Although there are times where I'll, like on a Sunday afternoon, hit the couch, put my head on a pillow, and immediately I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have that at night, please. Why can't I have that at night? What's the deal?
Right. Yeah, I wonder if you could do something like a squishy ball or something like that that you hold. But that doesn't even. I don't know if your body would recognize that as a sleep thing.
You'd have to. It'd have to put
you're
you
basically Pavloving it.
Right. You'd have to, and you'd also have to somehow convince yourself the first time you use it that's what it does. Because I would still have that. I don't know. Maybe squishing something like
do
that.
I was just gonna say. Do you use a sleep mask?
No, I don't do it. I use nothing. I lay down and then my brain.
So maybe you do a sleep mask and associate the sleep mask with going to sleep.
What if I squeeze? I could squeeze this guy just sit there.
Yeah, but see, then you're flexing your tensing up is the problem.
Yeah, that's not conducive to sleep, is it?
No. I think I might have remembered one of my stories beginning with relax your entire body, let all the tension go. That was the last thing I think I heard before I zonked out.
Except your right hand, which will squeeze this little man.
Right, exactly. All right. Yeah, but since I've been doing the sleep headphones, sleep completely through the night up until about 5:30, about half an hour before my alarm goes off, so I hop out of bed. I hop over to the couch, put my AirPods in, and watch a Peep Show episode. This morning, interrupted by a light to my right, and it was the UPS. It was the Amazon Prime guy dropping off some resin, and I looked over, and I swear to God, I mean, I had a blanket covering me. But I could have sworn he looked at me watching TV. I'm like, ah.
Did your eyes meet you and this guy?
Yes. Oh yeah, they did. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
When he sent the photo of, you know how they always have to send you the photo to prove that they dropped your package off.
Yeah.
I zoomed in to see if I was in the photo shirtless, but covered with a blanket in the background watching Peep Show.
That would be amazing.
That would be hilarious.
We would show it here. We would show it on this show right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I looked and there was nothing. You couldn't see anything.
Damn it.
Just the reflection of his flash.
Yeah. He took three of those photos for himself that featured you.
He might have. Yeah. Only turned the flash on for the third one. Yeah.
My question about the sleep thing is, you said it does fiction and nonfiction. Are the fiction nonfictions like... Bill Clinton really was attracted to the young girl in the blue dress. I mean, what's that about? What do you do
there?
Let
me tell you. Let's see. Let me pull up a better sleep. There was one about Galileo. And Figaro. Let's see here. Nonfiction. So here are the nonfiction ones. Under the Northern Lights of Iceland, Christmas in Strasbourg, The Road to Green Gables, The Red Shoe Diaries, just kidding, The Sleep Encyclopedia, Volume 2, The Story of Sheep. Oh, I should listen to that and maybe subconsciously absorb some talking points for Dr. Nikki.
Yeah.
The Glacier Express, Gaudi's Dream of Barcelona. Oh, you can find out about the Sagrada Familia. The Netherlands by Train. So I don't know.
Weird.
I don't think I've done any of the, oh no, I did Galileo, but that's the only nonfiction one.
So they're not really like, they're not like news events or anything. It's just like.
No.
Galileo stared into the sky and saw lights.
It's got to be the most non-controversial thing possible. So it's not going to be, you know, how Trump convinced half the country that he won the election by Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It seems like that would be not conducive.
Yeah, that would
to sleep.
Be problematic. No, it's got to be the most.
I wouldn't sleep.
Not boring, but calming. Like talking about the train in Netherlands by train, right? Or or the Road to Green Gables. Or
it would be funny if it was today's headlines. Like it would
go. God, it would not. Yeah, I would. I would.
Today, four stealth jets dropped bombs on Yemen.
Yeah,
1,000 people were killed innocently, while only the target was hit marginally. Sure, tune in tomorrow.
Like the BBC News, a nice little British accent, BBC America.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it.
So yeah. So basically, this is Brian in bed listening to that.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, this is the problem I already have. I don't need. Yeah, I don't need
exactly.
more of it.
Exactly. No.
That's cool. I like it. I think you're better off for it. I wish I had a trick like that. I'll have to come up with something.
Or get one of these headphones. I mean, maybe that's the thing that triggers
you. Oh, yeah. You know what? I've heard, and you're not the first person to say that those work.
Yeah, they're great. Philips.
Do you have a link? Or here, let me just Amazon.
I'm going to give you a link, because Philips Cocoon. A
couple of old guys talk about the relevance. Yeah. Philips.
K-O-K-O-O-N, because maybe there's a... No, I don't think I get. Oh, here's a 20% off with code Google20. That's really good, actually.
Yeah. Let's see. 20%. Yeah, that's nothing. That's not nothing.
Yeah. That's nothing. That's
right.
Not nothing.
That's not nothing. Yeah. All right. I'll look into this.
These are those fancy IUD headsets here.
Nice.
But now it's you know, now when I travel, it's going to be the CPAP and this. And
there it is. Oh, that does look like that. Holy crap. Look at that big wide-ass IUD, girls. Look at that, ladies.
it looks like both an IUD and an op art representation of the uterus at the same time.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny we bring up Philips, because I'm under the impression that Philips is doing it so wrong from a capitalist standpoint. Here's what I mean.
Okay.
Everything I own that Philips makes, and I have Sonicare toothbrush, a water pick thing they make, and I have a shaver, like a trimmer they make.
Uh-huh. Yep.
All of them I've had forever. Their batteries never die. They never break. They never stop working properly. I've had this toothbrush for something like 10 years. I've replaced the tips a bunch, but they still works perfectly every time. I don't understand. Did they not get the memo about planned obsolescence?
Make it,
and
exactly. Make it break down just shortly after the warranty period. So, you know, we've designed a product that's guaranteed to work for a year, and then it will crash horribly.
Yeah. That's crazy to me, though, how good their stuff is.
Yeah.
They should make more stuff I want. I don't know how that'll work. Well, anyway, let's move on. We got a thing here. I finished Squid Game, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay.
Excellent. Really, 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 really like that series a lot.
Yeah.
Big shock, everybody. A very popular thing was good. So I decided to take your advice, and I rolled directly into
the
game
challenge.
Show. Yeah. And there's a... Okay, I'll say this so that there's no spoilers or anything, but that first episode with... they do the red light, green light
the
stuff.
The red light,
and all
green
that.
Light, yeah. And all you can think about while you're watching that is these poor people having to just sit there.
Yep. Oh, man, it's rough. But there's this guy who annoys me... to no end.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure some of that's trumped up by the way that they edit and everything else is fine.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, you look at this stuff and say, all right, how was this? Because now anything like this, I look at with a very critical eye and say, how did they edit this to make him look worse?
Yeah.
Or did they really just edit it? Did they just give you his greatest hits and say, wow, you know, you just pick like 5 moments from this guy and he's a douche.
Kind of. Yeah. I assume it's like a ton of B-roll because they don't know who's going to win. So they get a bunch of B-roll ahead of time, or maybe it's afterwards. Yeah. See, I just don't know. But this one guy's so annoying.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure when they were going to, because they had the little secret meeting with a couple of people where they kick somebody out, but they don't tell anyone that they did it.
Yes.
I'm sure that's going to bite him in the butt later. Just have a feeling. But the guy they picked is not the guy I would have picked. The guy I would have picked is the one that won't shut up about how awesome he thinks he is.
Yes. Yeah.
Damn it, that guy.
I know. I know.
And I have a feeling I'm going to have to watch his bullcrap the whole damn series. So we'll see.
No. Well, I mean, no, you don't necessarily. We'll see. Good. I don't know without saying anything.
I won't take that as a spoiler. I take that as hope. That's hope for
me. Hope. I do like the mother and son. And after Nicole said that they actually rigged things to make it so that the mom could could make it across the finish line during red light, green light, I did searches and all I could find was somebody on Reddit saying, oh yeah, I heard from one of the producers that they rigged the game so that the mom could get through. And from there, apparently it just spread like wildfire. Maybe there's more out there, but I did my,
that's not enough.
I did my Googlist to find information.
That's not nearly enough to convince me.
That really bumped me out hearing that. And I wanted to not, I wanted that to not be the case. And so far, no real confirmation other than somebody on Reddit saying that.
That's not enough for me. I need more than that.
Yeah.
Bring receipts. If you're going to make claims, bring receipts, everybody. And then I'll believe you.
Dr. Kellen says they made the people stand out in the cold for hours without coats filming red light, green light. That was done in a warehouse, in a room, in a building. Don't think they were out in the cold. It just looked like it was out in a.
Somehow I find it appropriate that the show's got controversy. Somehow that works.
Yeah,
for
I
me.
Do too. Yeah, exactly. Kind of feels like that is the only part of this that's kind of right on the money.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of like that. Anyway, I really enjoyed it so far. I think them leaning into it is really funny. Although I do think it's hilarious that the guard guys in red with the symbols on their faces. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that the little control room, all they did was buy a bunch of joysticks and buttons for like making your own arcade game.
Oh, that whole, you know, the stuff they do to kind of world build just feels so, that feels so silly. That feels really, really dumb.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm like, I get it because you're trying to keep the motif and, you know, you've got to lean into it or whatever. But on the other hand, I'm just like, dude, Amazon has those for $15. That's for if you're making your own little Raspberry Pi arcade machine. I know what that is. Don't try to make me think it's high tech or cool. It's not. And I doubt very much him hitting that button made their thing pop. It's some other device that's making their thing pop.
Right. The squibs.
I do like the squibs, though.
Dr. Calhoun, I know that they had to stand for hours, dude. Hypothermia. Look at that. I mean, they're inside. That what you're seeing in that photo is not an actual wheat field in the background of red light, green light. But I guess they just didn't heat that freaking warehouse.
They don't look cold to me.
A-holes. Yeah.
All right. I didn't see anybody shivering or whatever. Mm-mm. Well, whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to defend it. I just, you know, I need more than just someone said something, you know.
Wait until you get to see, there's one thing that the game show has advantage-wise for people, or disadvantage-wise for entertainment purposes, is that just about everybody in the game show has seen the actual show. So there's a very interesting development, an almost heartbreaking development that happens for the cookie tins situation that you're about to get to. So
is that the next? That's probably the next game, isn't it?
I think that'll be the next game. Yeah.
Do they kind of do the ones that they base on the show? I assume they do in kind of the same order or similar order, I would think.
Roughly, but they have to add a few things.
Okay.
There are new games created for the game show that weren't in the TV show.
Plus, they have the nighttime. You know, they've gamified the we're back in the dormitory time. With like the two people who had to pick somebody out or whatever, like they're doing all that stuff, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I like it so far though. It's good. It's good stuff. And I really, really, really like the series. I thought it was awesome. And I can't wait for more of that. We got speaking of TV shows, we got an email from, Justin in Fayetteville. He says, "Hey, Slap and Belcher." This is about season 3 of True Detective, which I finished, a month ago or 3 weeks ago?
That's right. You did your rewatching of all 3 seasons or just 2 and 3?
2 and 3. I'd seen 1, so I hadn't seen 2 or 3, so I watched those. And
so this wasn't a rewatch. That's right. This was the initial watch.
Yeah. Okay. And I think I'm 3 or 2 maybe into the new one, so I'm pretty much all in on that show right now. Anyway, he says, "Hey, Slap and Belcher." That'd be you. You're Belcher.
I'm Belcher. That's fine.
That's okay. Fine. Mr. I'll take that. You're Mr. Belcher. That sounds. Why does that sound familiar?
Because of Bob's Burgers.
Oh, Bob Belcher. Duh. I had Belvedere, but that ain't right.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Belvedere. Sure. Yes.
In a recent episode, Scott mentioned he watched or rewatched seasons 2 and 3 of True Detective. Season 3 was shot where I live, which was a big deal because it was 100 million plus production on that thing. Shortly after the production began, I learned that my old childhood home was being used in the series. Ooh. It was not until the show aired that I recognized it was the house of Mahershala Ali's character, Wayne Hayes.
That's not just being used in the series. That's a fairly important location. Holy cow.
Yeah, and the way they use it to show time jumps and stuff. It's a big deal, that house. He says it was used throughout every single episode. There are many scenes at that house, interview scenes, and Wayne when he is older, scenes in the kitchen, dining room, scenes in the backyard, and a number of scenes in my old bedroom, which had been furnished to look like a library. Wow. Much of the decor of the house was unchanged from when I saw it 25 plus years ago, which is probably why it was chosen. So it was bizarre to see the inside of my old house, nearly the way it looked when I lived there. And every week in the series, I have old friends from school who are scattered across the country who watched the series and were freaked out at seeing my old house week after week on HBO. Anyway, it was distracting as hell to have this going on while I was trying to watch that season's episodes. I wonder if you have ever experienced something similar to this. Love the show, though, Justin. Justin, this happens all the time. Anytime it's something shot where I live. So if I see the Sandlot, anytime I see the Sandlot, I recognize every location, including the actual Sandlot. It's all stuff I've seen in person or been to. And that happens a lot when something's filmed here. Do you remember the movie in the 80s or late? Maybe it was very early 80s called Susanna Smiles or something like that. Okay. No. It was this really heartfelt kind of, these kidnappers took this girl, and it was just for money. And they ended up, She really like rubbed off on them, meaning they just really liked her in the end and felt bad for her. And it became like they were almost like, I don't even know if you could do this today because we just, kidnappers are dicks, right? But
yeah,
but they became attached. Was it Susanna Smiles? Susanna?
It sounds like, was the one, Bette Midler and Judge Reinhold. Sounds like that, right?
Yeah.
Intolerable people. Ruthless people.
Ruthless people. Kind of like that. Oh, Savannah Smiles. Her name was Savannah.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, it's a big deal around here because all of it was filmed in the city and we recognized everything. So it is distracting for me to see stuff where I know where it's been filmed. And I assume it's got to be similar for you if you see something in Denver or whatever.
Dumb and Dumber, which is actually between both, shared between both of us, right? It's, your airport and our Aspen or what was it? Aspen Streets? Someplace out there in the mountains. When The Real World was filming in Denver, that was probably the most oh yeah, I know that place. Oh my God, why are they going there? Oh, that's a horrible place to eat. Don't do that. You know, basically it was like that for Tina and I way back in whenever that, that season, aired.
Yeah. And for that movie, it would have been 94. So
94 for Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. And early 90s, both, Colorado and Utah had really good tax breaks for filming.
Yeah.
So we got a lot more stuff done out here. That all ended. And that's why everybody went to Georgia. So I'm guessing if you live in Georgia now, everything looks familiar because everything's filmed in Georgia now. All of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Every movie, every series,
everything. All of it. You get to the end of it, happily, lovingly filmed in Georgia. And that's great for our friend Dodd. Good job, Dodd.
Yeah, good job. And Amy and Chuck, you guys ought to try to get some cheap cameo going on, you know? Just like Ibbit bomb in the next MCU movie or something.
There you go. Have somebody in the background just
love that idea.
Perfect.
Anyway,
Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Because sometimes they don't see this in the edit. You know, that kid.
Go right by him. Nobody's going to see that.
Yeah, like the kid in Back to the Future 3 pointing at his crotch. They didn't.
That's right.
No one thought
Jules
to take that out.
And Vern.
Yeah.
Stop that, Vern.
They didn't acknowledge it at all. So come on.
Vern now. Clearly has to pee. Marty, can you take him to. Marty.
He's got to pee. It's your kids.
He has to go back to the bathroom.
Which means, actually, you don't want to jump forward. You don't want to use a bathroom back then. It's just a hole in the ground. Right. You don't want that. Well, anyway, thank you, Justin from Fayetteville. That's a fun little deal. And then we got some Morse code stuff from our old pal, Jeff Sire. You know him from such things as Canada.
Canada, yeah.
Yeah, he's up there.
Perfect.
Canada!
And he has this to say. Scott and Brian, you guys were talking about the Mission Impossible song being Morse code. Brian likely knows this, but the Rush song YYZ is also Morse code. Did you know that, Brian?
Yes. It's funny. It sounds like you're saying Morse code.
I always do. My bad. Okay. It's Morse code, but I always say Morris, and I don't know why. Yes. I think my dad probably did. Yeah, yes. Chuck Norris code. he says it's how the song starts. The story is that when the band was flying back to Toronto, they were invited into the cockpit to talk with the flight crew as they were approaching the city. As they talked, a beeping noise started, and Neil Peart, the drummer, asked what it was. The pilot said they had crossed the outer markers for the Toronto airport, and the beeping was Morse code for YYZ, which is the three-letter airport code for Pearson International Airport. Jeff Sire. I didn't know that at all. That's cool.
I knew the YYZ was Morse code. I didn't know how that came about. I did an episode of Guess the Connection, trying to figure out when this was based on the dates of the songs I picked for it. But you actually hear Morse code in a lot of pop music. YYZ is a good example. Astronomy Domine by Pink Floyd.
I didn't know that.
One of their early albums. Zip Planet Claire by the B-52s.
I didn't know that either.
She came from Planet Claire.
What part of it is Morse code? Just the
beginning of Planet Claire is all Morse code. It's
really
do, and then it goes into the keyboards.
I can hear it now. All right.
London Calling by The Clash ends with Morse code. Yep. At the end where he goes, never had a like a, and it's you hear the Morse code at the end of that song.
Love it.
And I have SOS by ABBA in here as well, but I think that was just because that's frequently typed with Morse code. I don't think ABBA has any Morse code in, but it's, you know, nobody, you know, that came about because of Morse code, that phrase.
But they definitely need help is what they're saying. They need help.
They do. They need help.
That's great. Also, this is a little surprising because I thought it was notorious that Neil Peart, drummer for Rush, would never fly. I thought he would only drive or motor his bike.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wonder. I want to know the full story in that.
Maybe that was it.
Because he would get into that. I mean, I think it was even Jeff who told us this, where he would get into his big Momo cycle and just drive forever, like do 3,000-mile trips for concert events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Art Chicken, there's a Kraftwerk song. I actually had it pulled up here. It's just not as well known. The Kraftwerk song, because that was the other one I chose for the episode, was Radioactivity uses Morse code.
Oh, that's cool. That's great.
Yep.
You know what I love? I love London Calling. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yes.
Now that I know that, I'm gonna listen closely to the end and hear the Morse code.
Great, great album. Really from start to finish.
Yep.
Such a good album.
And what do you think the chances today that today's title will be Morris something?
Right. Yes. It'll probably be Morris code. Yes.
And it's funny because I've been watching David Morse on on St. Elsewhere, and I don't ever say David Morris, so I don't know what's wrong with me.
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
It's weird. Anyway, let's get to today's news. We have some. We need to share it with the world. And here comes the intro for it right here. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
My debut novel, Healing Notes, is getting released on February 13th, 2023. That's a year ago. They probably meant 24.
Yeah, I think they meant 24. Typo.
It will be available in ebook and paperback wherever you normally buy books. This might not be the next great American novel, but it is a sweet demisexual romance about healing from trauma, going to therapy, and facing the unexpected and very relatable parts of life together. While it's mostly a romantic drama, I've sprinkled in as much humor as I can manage to balance out the more heavy elements of the story. Finally, I promise that while the spices are rated, you will not encounter any version of the phrase, "Oh my God, you're so big," anywhere in this book. That book again is called Healing Notes, and we don't have an author in here, but Malia Emery, congratulations on getting published. I love this.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I love it.
Healing Notes, wherever you get your books.
Yep, very, very cool. Love to hear when one of our own is doing something rad.
Oh, show.
Pizza shop. We got a pizza shop in the news. Unforeseen circumstances. I'm sorry. Unforeseen circumstances was typoed as unforeseen circumcisions.
Yeah.
Went viral. A Pizza Hut location in Northern Ontario has gone viral for its pizza. Not for its pizza, or specials, by the way, but rather for an unfortunate typo. I actually saw this well before I found the article, and I saw it, I don't remember where, TikTok.
Of course, yeah, this was all over the place for a while, but I love that we're talking about it.
It's a rough one. Autocorrect and typos have become a commonplace in the business world in signs, emails, and advertisements. But in an age of social media, they rarely go unnoticed. That's the deal. Last week, the Pizza Hut location in Timmins, Ontario...
Which apparently the town of Timmins opens in a new tab.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that how I get there?
You open a new tab and you're in Timmins.
That's a very funny thing for them to put. Why would you say this in your article?
Well, I think when you copied and pasted, yeah, I think because that would be a link, right?
So some kind of metadata.
You're copy and paste. It's not a link, but it's basically just letting you know, by the way, when you click that, it will open in a new tab. So you won't lose this article.
It's probably programmatic where they, if you looked at it, it'd be a link, but it translates it to this when you copy it. I don't know. Anyway, it closed its doors at the last minute and posted a sign that said they were closing for unforeseen circumcisions on the door.
Which makes sense because I've never had to leave a tip at Pizza Hut.
No, you know what? They don't need your tip. Well, sometimes they say we need just the tip, and then Brian leaves just the tip.
just drive that joke in the ground.
Yeah, let's do it as far as
you'll notice. I stopped.
Yeah, let's just keep it going. Let's keep that thing alive.
It's dead.
Yeah, there's your sign, everybody. Due to unforeseen circumcisions, the dining room will be closed this evening. Sorry for the inconvenience. Open for takeout and delivery only.
And
then,
love it.
Then they pointed out that George Takei retweeted it, which I hate articles that just talk about how people tweeted it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, right. That's news.
Yes, that's like, we need to fill some more space. I know. And we can get some SEO quality names in there that people will find.
Yeah.
At least they don't do the dumb thing that people seem to do, which is put quotes around what they deem to be the most important part of the sign. The dining room will be closed this evening.
Yeah. Yeah. What? It is weird. I don't understand the psychology behind sign making. But I will say this. What if it was circumcisions and we're all laughing. We all think it's a typo.
It was. Maybe it was like a whole group of them said, crap, I need a quick circumcision. Yeah, me too. Oh no, close.
The pizza cutters look like they might do the job, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody had an accident. Maybe two of them, because it is plural.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like the sure. Yeah, those pizza, the dough mixers have a big twirling blade in them.
And you worked there, right?
I never worked at a Pizza Hut.
Who am I thinking of?
I did work for Pizza Hotline and Dano's Pizza growing up.
I think I'm thinking of Tom Merritt or somebody. Somebody we know worked there.
Actually worked for an actual Pizza Hut. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think if there was anything they would be doing there that would cause their junk to get circumcised. Horrible story.
I mean, you know, like you said, the pizza cutter. That's definitely that's definitely the way it goes.
Yeah, that's what you can expect. How about this? A man partied for 4 days, unaware that he had been shot in the head. Oh, man.
Oh, geez. So apparently the part of his brain that he got shot in was the part that recognized that you've been shot in the head.
That's right. Dr. Tolbert, could you please tell us which part of the brain stores our information about where we're shot? Let's see. So this is how it works. Sounds like Massive Headwind Harry a little bit. Imagine partying with your friends for 4 days while also being completely unaware that the entire time you had a bullet lodged in your head. Well, university student Mateus Facio, I don't know.
Facio.
F-A-C-I-O. I don't know. Yeah. Required an emergency operation after doctors made the astonishing discovery that he had bullet fragments in his brain, according to Indy 100. It's a website of some sort.
I was hoping it was like a...
like a racetrack?
Like a racetrack, yeah, that just does news. Yeah.
Before we do the new race, we'd like to announce... Dude got a bullet in his head and party for 4 days.
He got a bullet in his head. Party for 4 days.
They only give the news every loop.
Every really got to pare it down to just a couple words every time.
I like that. Let's see. He initially went to the hospital after experiencing some unexplained arm spasms. I think it's explained, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, they were at the time unexplained, and now they're very much explained.
Yeah, we have an explanation now. It says he'd been shot on New Year's Eve. However, the 21-year-old simply thought he had been hit in the head with a rock or something. Seemingly oblivious to the seriousness of his injury, Facio, carried on with his life as normal, swimming with his friends in the sea, partying, and visiting the beach.
Not a hole you want to get sand into.
No.
I mean, I guess nobody has a hole they want to get sand into, but a brain hole is not a hole you want to get sand or salt water into. Oh, my God.
And your brain hole doesn't have like a sphincter item that'll block it from getting in there.
That'll block it, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're going to get sand in there, which is like getting glass in there because glass is made of sand.
Yeah.
Boom. Look at the science on me today.
Ugh.
It was days later, after traveling 200 miles from Rio de Janeiro to Juiz. How would you say that?
Juiz de Fora?
Okay. I don't know.
You do pronounce the J in Rio de Janeiro, so it's probably, it could just be Juiz de Fora.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's probably right.
I can never remember which Latin languages pronounce the J as an H and which actually pronounce the J as a J.
So this would be...
Because you say Jalisco.
Right.
You don't say Jalisco, right?
But that's Spanish, not...
correct.
What's wrong with
Portuguese.
Me? Portuguese. Geez.
Portuguese, yeah.
So Portuguese, I think, is... Yeah. So, I think they're different on the J's.
They're the hard J, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Spain is... They do the Barcelona thing.
Right, Barcelona.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Which just never sounds right. I'm sorry to your whole nation.
Oh, I like it. I kind of wish, you know, we use that all the time here.
It doesn't sound right. It just throws me.
Can I put some cheese on your pizza?
See? It's awful.
Well, unfortunate circumcision.
We had to close the restaurant.
Circumcision.
Yeah, no pizza for you. anyway, this neurosurgeon who treated Flavio Flamentia or
Falcometa. It just feels like they're making up names, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that name's great. Flavio Falcometa.
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 That's yes, I am Dr. Falcometa. I will find what has happened to your head.
Only my wife calls me Flavio. he explained why the young man would have been getting arm spasms from the gunshot. Part of the bullet penetrated his brain, which caused compression in that area and led to his arm involuntary movements. It had ended up a few millimeters from where it did. It could have caused much more serious damage and left his arm or one side of his body completely paralyzed. It was very risky for the patient, but we believe that in 20 to 30 days he will be able to continue with his normal life. Or as he would say it, continue with his normal life.
Yeah. exactly. You will be fine.
You will be fine in 20 to 30 days.
Relax while I read you the story of Otis.
I can only hear what's his name?
Boots? Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, Banderas. He just has a way with that stuff. Yeah. I suppose he says Barcelona, right? Because he's from Spain.
So he must.
Or he changed it so he doesn't. You know, he had to unlearn it or something. I don't know.
Does he say he's Antonio Banderas?
Have you seen Desperado? Anyway. Once upon a time in Mexico. The worst of his films.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. All right. One final story here. We got at trendy Japanese cafes.
Sure. Customers
are enjoying cuddling with pigs. This is a feature.
Of course they do. Yeah. Because, you know, it's...
Makes perfect sense, right?
Japan takes a fetish and makes a cafe out of it, basically. That's what they do. Yeah.
Next time you're in Tokyo, Brian, try this. First, they were cafes that allowed pets. Then came cat cafes where lattes took second place to feline interaction. The latest craze in Japan, the pig cafe. It was wonderful and very relaxing and enjoyable, says Brad Loomis, a software engineer from Pullman, Washington, after visiting Tokyo's My Pig Cafe or Me Pig.
Sure, Me Pig. Yeah.
Probably Me Pig. What's that you got there? Ah, that's Me Pig! with his 21-year-old daughter, Paige, they were among dozens of customers in a recent morning taking selfies and breaking into huge smiles. The pigs, a miniature breed, trotted around the room looking for a cozy lap to cuddle on. Aww. The pigs are surprisingly quiet, although they do snort now and then. Mm-hmm. I hope not. That would be a bad experience.
That's the sound if you accidentally pour a latte on them. That is the sound they make.
Yeah, but, your hot coffee pig. Let's see. They don't like to be alone, making for great companionship. Unlike the stereotype, they're very clean and don't smell. I mean, I already knew this. I already knew pigs were way cooler than we take them.
Yeah, yeah. I like pigs. This would be the best way too, right? Because you don't have to have them at home.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go here and experience cuddling with them. This photo, this top-down, they're called micro pigs. That's interesting. I knew they were, you know, saying that they're the small variety, but micro pigs.
Wow, is that why it's my pig or M-I pig?
Oh, I'll bet. That's probably, a little abbreviation or a little...
Let's take a look here. This photo. Oh, yeah. Look at them. They're tiny. Oh.
Yeah, they're tiny. And the but look at the woman over on the far right. She has four pigs in her lap.
Yeah.
Dude next to her has zero. Doesn't seem right.
Zero pigs.
Why is she? Well, she's a little pig hoarder, is what she is.
Yeah, this is some horse shit going on here.
Yeah,
I don't like that guy. I don't like him at all. Oh, maybe it's her I don't like because she's hoarding the pigs.
Maybe because she's hoarding the pigs. Yeah,
she's a pig hoarder. All right, sorry. My wife brought me a nice hot drink. Thank you, babe.
Yeah, look at that.
You're the best. Carter, are you in here?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did a cat cafe when we went to Japan, but it wasn't a cafe with cats in it. It was a cafe with
just themed, like,
no, the servers were dressed as cats, but not like in a mascot costume or furry costume way. They just had the ears and they walked around, you know.
Oh my gosh, I want to die.
They're with their paws up, and like when you needed them you had to go meow. Can I get a refill on my Diet Coke? Meow.
They made you do that?
They asked us to do that.
Yeah. And did you do it?
Of course. Yeah. When in Rome.
Yeah,
absolutely.
When in Rome, I guess. Yeah.
And we took a picture with them, and it was like kind of like they were in maid costumes, but because they have maid cafes as well, but they have this is like cat maids kind of.
That is freaking weird, dude.
Yeah.
But it's Tokyo. This is what you do. This is how they do it.
That's right. We do have a couple cat cafes in Denver, though. Like, there's one I can go to that's maybe about 20 minutes from here. And you go in, you pay your money, you get a latte or whatever, and you sit down at a table and a bunch of cats run around and play with string or hop in your lap or all sorts of stuff.
I wonder how you manage that as the cafe owner. Are they trying to get a certain breed of cat? These are friendly, cuddly ones?
No, I think they get them from a local shelter. So you could actually adopt them. If you you're sitting in there, it's like, oh my God, this calico is just adorable and loving on me. You could, you know, start the paperwork then and there, I think, to adopt it.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the deal. I would not normally gravitate to a place like that. But if I was in the market for a cat rescue, I would absolutely do this. I would go. Yeah, I would try the food.
It's a great showroom. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Let me sit in the Model X. Oh, yeah, this is really comfortable. Does the seat recline? Oh, it does. Okay, I'll take this one.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I'd pick the hair out of my food.
Would
it's
you do a puppy cafe? Like, being more of a dog person, you would totally do a puppy cafe, 100% right?
I would do a puppy
cafe. Yeah, so...
Or even old dogs. Yeah. Like, if it was a rescue that's cool. Sure. I like that a lot, actually. I think it would smell weird, but maybe they're good at that. I don't know.
I like the word, and by weird, you mean horrible.
Horrible, yeah.
It would smell horrible.
I mean, I like the smell of Carter's dog, Ripley. I can cuddle with her. I love how she smells, even when she's a little dirty. It's like a pure dog smell in her fur. I just love that. But Rainer, on the other hand, You give her 3 days on her own. I don't want to smell that, dude. She reeks. She excretes something gross. I don't know what it is. I love my dog, but she excretes something. It's foul. Anyway.
Oh, geez.
Let's take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Amy and our little segment we call Read This. She's got a couple of clips today, so I'm excited to find out what we should be reading. And we'll have a little smack talk about her time in Unreal Tournament yesterday. Why not? After that, we got, you know, just kind of summing things up. So if you're excited about anything I just said, you got to wait just a sec because Brian's going to play a song. What do you got?
That's right. But don't worry. We'll give you something really cool to listen to while you're waiting for all that.
That's right.
Let's go to Baltimore for a group called the South Hill Experiment. This is cool. This is a couple brothers named Barrett and Goldwash who had a couple of records, Moonshots and Sunstrikes, in the last few years. KEXP and KCRW have loved these things, and I can see why. After listening to this song, I was like, oh, I need more of this in my life. It's kind of electro funk, a little bit of trip hop, a little bit of funk. I mean, this is so cool. Best thing to do is just let you listen to it. The brand new song is called Little Monk. It features Kerryon Riggins, and the single just came out. They got a brand new album coming out along with this as well. It's called South Hill and Friends. Comes out March 1st. Here is Little Monk featuring Kerryon Riggins.
Talk about some meat. Oh man, I love some meat. You know what's great? You got to start your year off on the right foot. We're already in February, so you know, you got to get going. For me, that means making sure we're eating well and having enough energy to do the things we want to do. We're not gonna, you know, run to the butcher every day to get a fresh cut of quality meat, the good lean stuff, you know. It's just not gonna happen. That's why Good Chop is going to be a lifesaver for us here in the Johnson home. Good Chop offers fully customizable boxes of high-quality meat and seafood with no antibiotics, no added hormones, and it's delivered straight to your door on your schedule. Go to goodchop.com/morningstream120 and get the code, or use the code morningstream120 to get $120 off your first four boxes. Jeez, that's pretty good. So here's all you got to do. You got to go to the website and do what I just said. And then you got to be like me and look forward to what you got coming, okay? Here's what I know I have coming to me. Boneless ribeye steaks, boneless pork chops, and rockfish.
Oh,
those are three things I love to eat. I love to grill. I love to eat these things. I can't wait to prepare them. And by that, I mean have Kim prepare them because she's better at that stuff than I am. But still, it's amazing the quality you're going to get from these guys. And I can't wait. You know what? I'm really looking forward to their 100% grass-fed ribeyes. How about their USDA Prime filet mignon? Free-range organic chicken breast, pork tenderloin, and thick cuts of bacon. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be really hungry for today's show. Anyway, cannot wait. It's going to be great. You guys are going to be benefited directly by the kind of quality you're going to get from these. If you like meat, like I do, then you're going to be excited. The products come in a vacuum-sealed and frozen state, so there's, you know, peak freshness you can look forward to. You can stock your freezer and cook it when you want to. Pretty easy, pretty easy, pretty easy. And they're so confident in the quality of their cuts, they offer a 100% money-back guarantee. You know, love Good Chop or get your money back. It's that simple. They also offer sustainable and wild cut, or caught rather, seafood, salmon, Pacific cod, scallop, shrimp, and more. So you can get your seafood on. Go to goodchop.com/morningstream120 and use the code morningstream120 to get $120 off across your first four boxes. That's code morningstream120 at goodchop.com/morningstream120 for $120 off. You have no reason not to do this. Go try it out.
Something about Friday nights always brings out the weirdos.
Oh, really? That's great.
And we're back. Tell me more about that great band.
Sure. Wasn't that awesome? The South Hill Experiment featuring Kerriam Riggins doing a song called Little Monk. Check out the brand new album, which comes out March 1st.
Sounds great. Lots of good music coming out in the early part of 2024. That full complete for 90s punk fans, that Green Day album's great.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Such a return to form. Not that their recent stuff has been bad or anything. It's just been a little more experimental.
But it's
This is you remember Green Day? Well, guess what? This is Green Day.
Green Day's back. Yeah, baby. Pog form.
That's very good. Also, that Blink album's really good. And I'm not even that big of a Blink fan. That's very good.
Cool.
All right. Let's get Amy in here.
Okay.
And you know her as Red Fraggle 3, some of you, okay? Because you follow her on YouTube or whatever it is, you know? And she does this thing where I have to play this little segment. So let me do that real quick. Where the hell is it? Here it is.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Look who it is. It's Mrs. Robinson. Joining us. Never really thought of you that way.
Cuckoo Pichu.
Plastics.
Yep, that's right. It's good to have you here. How did you feel about yesterday's play? It was pretty fun, right? We had a good time.
Oh, man. It was so much fun. I actually, when I set everything up to be able to play with you guys and I got logged in, I had never actually played Unreal Tournament before, but I have played first person shooter deathmatch type situations before.
Yeah.
And I got it all set up just to make sure that I, you know, I was all set up. And so I played a little bit with the bots that Dunaway has running on the server.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, this is just as much fun as I remember. Mm-hmm, and I suck just as much, if not more than I remember, but man, it's fun.
It's coming back to me like a bike. Like riding a bike. At first I was like rusty and I was like, oh, I don't know. It feels off. And then it all comes flooding back. And I swear I felt 25 years younger last night. It was just like, this was all I was into. And people don't
right back into those times where, you know, we had T connectors and coax and all that mess, you know,
you'd have to try to dial up to play anybody. The default connection for playing online in this game is, do you have a 56K modem? Like, it literally asks you that.
Yeah, for real. And I was like, that's awesome. Wow, that's so funny. And I remember one time, one of my boyfriends that I dated when I was in college, that was the setup they had. And they had like both apartments, like their apartment and the apartment right across the hall from theirs. They had run coax between them so they could have these big LAN parties.
Yeah.
And they would play like Quake and Quake Arena and stuff. and freaking at one point they had them hooked up to their speakers.
Yeah.
And the neighbors called the cops because they were thought there was actual gunfire.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Because they had it turned up too loud.
That's amazing. See, this is all of that stuff where we would figure out ways. My neighbor and I did this with phones. We would connect directly across the street from each other. There'd be a cable out in the road. And people would drive over that cable.
Really? Like,
but we didn't care. We were just like, we got to play. And there was no better way to do it back then to get kind of the LAN experience. But dial-up was bad and people were picking up phones and all that. But the thing with this is, and people, I don't know if I talk about this very much, but Unreal Tournament is, as much as anything in my life at the time, is responsible for me jumping into content creation very early. If it wasn't for that game, I wouldn't have done...
Because it was mods that you were doing a show for, like a pre-podcast.
Yeah, basically. That show was called, what did we call it? Oh, Infiltration Radio. And the mod was called Infiltration. Something you still get installed. People are interested in seeing what that was. But it was this kind of realistic mod for the game. And I started making comics about it, made a radio show about it. There was no such thing as podcasting, but we just had one and put it up on the web and people could download it. And it is... I look back now and it is very much that era is very responsible for where I started to at least point in. And that meant, you know, the forums that we ran and all this stuff that we did was very reminiscent of what even I'm doing today. So I just have so much love for it. And to be able to get back into it and play with friends and blow some of your heads off was just a treat.
Oh yeah. That was
what
so
joy.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really was. And by that the way, great. Dr. Calhoun, sir,
Bastard. He's a bastard.
Really? Oh, funny. I saw him mention that he played with you guys, too. All right. I need to get in there.
Oh, my gosh. He's a bouncy little sucker, too. Like,
ability to dodge us, because we played Instagib on Facing Worlds, which anyone who knows Unreal Tournament will know what I'm talking about. It's this amazing map that really is maybe the greatest Capture the Flag map of all time. And in there, we had Instagib, the mutator that makes it so if I shoot you, Brian, with this with the laser railgun thing, you blow up immediately. You just explode. There's no taking damage. One shot, you're dead. Calhoun is a freaking boogie monster, just jumping. I mean, she's not wrong. He is everywhere, and I'm missing him constantly on that map. Just I'm killing everybody else is fine. He is just a juker and a jiver. And Dr. Tolbert showed up. Surmountable, but also difficult. Fletcher, like I mentioned, some of these guys I didn't know they had the skills. So anyway, it's really fun, and I'm really glad Dunaway's running that server.
Well, I'll join you, and I'll be the easiest target you can find. I will be.
Nah, bro, that's me. I'm telling you, like you. So I have determined that my husband always says that he's like the worst dancer, and but if we go somewhere that, you know, where there's dancing, he will be happy to go out on the dance floor and be the worst dancer so that everybody else in the room who thinks they're the worst dancer feels okay about themselves. Like, they can go out and dance.
Okay.
Like, you know, he's not Elaine or anything, but like, you know, it's, yeah. So anyway, that's how I feel about my performance in Unreal Tournament. I am the worst player so that nobody else has to be.
Well, didn't Chuck get in for a second and Chuck said, where's the cleric or something like that?
Where's the cleric? Yeah. No, he was like downstairs watching it and we were trying to goad him into playing, but like he was like, no, I don't see a cleric option, so no thank you.
Yep, no healers. And then people are like, well, we should get a heretic or hexen on here. We should be. So now we got all these ideas. But if anyone out there is like, dude, I love that game. How do I play? If you want to be a part of our server, you know, often it fills up pretty quick. So just know that. But you can hop in there any day. Just go to RetroGib. That's GIB, RetroGib.com. And Brian Dunaway set up all the info you need. Even if you don't have the game, there's a way to install it.
Super
fun.
It was my situation, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Super easy. It is, if you follow the brief, very brief instructions that Dunaway has laid out there, super easy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's no step four.
Yeah.
It's all very, three very steps.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that we'd go easy on you, but no, I won't. I will not go easy on anyone.
No. Yeah. Nobody's going easy. I had one map where I was like, I literally didn't even get out of the weapons room. I was just like constantly, my head was just constantly on the floor. Yep. I was like, all right, well, that's it for me.
And it does that. So, it does that vertigo thing where if you get headshot, your head is the camera view. And it kind of fly, and the whole camera is like spinning when your head falls down. That's pretty great.
It's fun.
All right. Well, let's get to some book reading. Back in 99, my parents would have told their kids, you need to read more books and play less Unreal Tournament. So what book should we read this week?
All right. So I gave you two clips. Let's start with the young adult novel
bought. I'll play this one.
If we can't have a reasonable discussion in this classroom, then I'm going to have to end this lesson right now, he tells us. I want all of you to take out your grammar textbooks and start the exercises on pages 25 and 26. They're due tomorrow. Lucy regains some sort of courage and pipes up. Mr. Davies, that's not fair. We were having a reasonable discussion, but they... She nods her head over her shoulder, unable to look in Mitchell's direction again. Are the ones who ruined it. I don't understand why you're punishing all of us. Lucy, did I or did I not just announce to the class that it should begin the grammar exercises on pages 25 and 26 of the grammar textbook? Mr. Davies spits. Yes, but... Lucy begins. No, stop. Mr. Davies interrupts. Stop talking. You can add page 27 to your assignment. Mitchell and his friends collapse into laughter, and Lucy sits there, stunned. When the bell finally rings, I grab my stuff and head out as fast as I can. I spot Claudia making her way down the hall toward me. Hey, I say. Hey, she answers. What's happening? We just got all this grammar homework. Mitchell was bugging that new girl, Lucy, and instead of dealing with him, Mr. Davies just assigned the entire class all these extra pages of homework. Let me guess, Claudia says as we head down the hall. Make me a sandwich? Oh my God, however did you figure that one out? I answer, my voice thick with mock surprise.
Mock surprise. No idea who that is or what this book is, but that voice is sure familiar to me. Am I supposed to know who that is? I don't know why it's familiar.
I don't think so. Okay. Hold on. I have the good
Susie Jackson is the narrator.
Oh, you know what, Chad? Yeah. Stephanie Inipet says Kristen Bell. That is who I was thinking. That's who I was hearing.
Oh, definitely sounds like Kristen Bell. Yeah.
And I could see that. It is not Kristen Bell. I kept thinking Amy Poehler when I was listening to it. Oh, but there's a reason for that. And the reason is this book is called Moxie. It's written by Jennifer Matthew. And it has been adapted into a movie that is available for streaming on Netflix. So it was directed and produced by Amy Poehler. And she's actually in it. She plays the main character's mom. And... this is a great story. My daughter actually made me watch the movie. She's like, Mom, you got to watch this movie. It's great. And mostly because she knows I am, y'all know me. I'm very feminist. And I'm usually very kind, very easygoing, but there are certain buttons that get pushed.
Sure.
And one of those buttons is school dress codes. And it drives me freaking nuts because they're always sexist as crap. And they always target girls, and and it's never evenly distributed. You know, it's just, it's just creepy. All of it's creepy. And, the crap with teachers pulling out rulers to freaking measure girls' skirts.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is okay.
That Catholic school. Okay. Gotcha.
No. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, at
like
least
making Catholic sure their hand is the right length from the floor and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys got it way worse than we did. We only got jock checks. We've talked about that before. Not everyone did, but we did. And that was about the only humiliating thing. But girls, they got subjected to every kind of like, double check the length of this, and why is your neckline so low, and why is your hair cut the way it is? It was weird.
Growing up. Well, and everything is about like, oh, well, the way you're dressed is distracting. And I'm like, distracting to whom? You know, like, it's not distracting anybody I can see. Like, and it's, oh, well, if your clothes are too revealing, then you might distract the boys. I'm like, wait, so I am responsible for the fact that peckerhead over there can't pay attention because my shoulders are showing. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that rant too much, but she knew that would be that I would resonate with this movie really, really well. And so she made me watch the movie. And once again, I bet this is a book. Red flags went off. And sure enough, here it was. It was a book. And thoroughly enjoyed both the movie and the book, and there are enough differences to where even though I had already seen the entire movie, I was able to enjoy the book just as much. Like, I knew the overall arc of the story and where it was going to go, but there were enough differences there to where I really, really liked both of them. And, you know, I mean, Amy Poehler's awesome. And
yeah, I love her. What's the name? What's the title again? Sorry, I meant to.
Moxie.
That's right.
M-O-X-I-E.
There it is.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, basically, she sort of starts a little underground feminist movement by putting out a zine. Remember those? Remember zine?
Mm-hmm. I had a zine. I did a. It was like Mad Magazine. It was a total ripoff, but I had one for a while.
So she created a zine and just clandestinely distributed it around school and sort of accidentally created a gigantic feminist movement in her school and leads to all sorts of interesting changes and activism and stuff. So, yeah, I recommend it for anybody who either is a teenage girl or has a teenage girl as a daughter, or, you know, just is interested in the stuff that teenagers are. I just personally like reading young adult stuff for the same reason, I think, Scott, that you like, you know, dealing with little kids. It's like they just, you know, adults are boring.
Adults are lame. You know? I mean, adults are all set in their stupid ways and they suck. Yeah. And kids are amazing. And I just love content that is like, I'll watch, but there are 10 new episodes of Bluey and they're all brilliant. And the one about art and drawing will make you cry. It made a grown ass man cry in the form of me.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Let me tell you, last week I shared this with some people. I had to take my daughter to the hospital last week and nothing is freaking worse than a children's hospital. Can I just tell you? I mean, my daughter's 17.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Jeez.
She's 17, but she like just qualifies to still go to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And so that's where we went. And man, that is the worst because you're just surrounded by all these little kids who like don't understand why they're sick or whatever. But man, I was so happy. I look up and there's Bluey on the screen, you know, and I was like, oh, that makes
everything's
going
to be all right. Yeah.
Everything's better. Bluey's here. Nothing can go wrong. You know, Bandit will make everything better for all of us.
I dread the day that show is no longer in production. I really do. It's so good.
I feel like they're going to make enough of it that to where it'll be like, it'll just be perennial, you know, it'll just like stay around.
Infinitely rewatchable kind of thing.
Yeah, it already is. Like you can sit down and watch any of them without any hesitation. I never go, oh, I've seen this one. It never happens. It's always good. It's like Futurama or any other, it's like Seinfeld, like even, you know, other stuff where you just think of as a comfort watch, Cheers, first few seasons of Cheers. It's just never not okay to see it. That's how Bluey is and maybe even more so. It's so, so good.
That's cool.
Real quick about this movie. The principal's played by Marcia Gay Harden. Can I just say that a mean principal being played by her is a perfect casting?
Oh, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
It's great. She is so, and that's one of the differences in the book. In the book, the principal is a guy. And I love them making that adaptation for the movie because it shows how, like, women can very easily adopt their own internalized misogyny and, you know, project it onto the world. And just say, oh, well, you just need to ignore them and just redirect, you know, just sit there and take it, you know, because we all know women like that. And it was, she's perfect. I saw her on the credits too. And I was like, oh, Marcia Gay Harden, this is going to be fun. I'm going to have somebody to hate.
Yeah. If you need, hey,
right. Like, not because I don't like her, but like, she
plays a villain character very well, or at least, you know, controlling, strict.
Yes. Yeah. Of all the, and so if you look at the 2000s and I look at female villains, there's nobody that does it better than her in The Mist. Like to this day, she's the most evil person in any Stephen King adaptation for that matter ever. She's so good in it. I also see Clark Gregg's in this. So the return of Agent Coulson. Woo!
Oh, perfect. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. He's great too. Like you just love him and just feel a little bit bad for him because he's kind of thrown into the deep end a little bit, but I don't want to give too much away there. So yeah, definitely. Cool. This is kind of a bonus, like a go read this, but also watch this, you know, it's a A little bonus.
A read a mental and a recommendal.
I didn't know Amy Poehler was directing anything, which is very cool. I didn't know she had done that. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let's talk about your. So again, that is Moxie, everybody, the film and the book. Tell us about this next one. What do you got here?
So the next one, while that one was a young adult novel, this is a not so young adult novel.
This is for 85-year-old.
Right, exactly.
Old
for
people.
Those of us who like a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of spicy, and go ahead.
Ooh, spicy intrigue. Here we go.
Somewhere from inside the house, I hear Ben's voice, a touch louder than usual, my lips thin. The thing about my husband is that he can charm the birds out of the trees, but only if you play by his rules. Don't get me wrong, I give as good as I get in our relationship, and I enjoy the games we play as much as he does. But what happened last time has soured things a bit. I'd feel safer if I was in another country right now. I slip on a pair of sunglasses, tinting the grey world sepia, and then I light a cigarette and wait. Someone will allow curiosity to beat their social anxieties. Well, hello, house number 5. The curtain twitches, then the door swings open. I adjust my gaze to see the tiny woman exit the house. Her purple-tinted hair is cropped fashionably short, and she wears big, thick-rimmed glasses, reminding me of the old-school fashion designers who aged ungracefully after the swinging 60s. She makes a beeline straight for our house. She glances at the removal men. There's nothing more stressful than moving house, is there? I shake my head. I'm Effie, by the way. Beryl. Have you lived here long, Beryl? Oh, yes, longer than anyone, she says. I know all about this place. Its history and everyone who lives here. I lean closer to her. Tell me everything. I'm nosy. Beryl's eyes sparkle and she leans towards me, eager to gossip and give me what I want. Let the games begin.
Oh my gosh, moving house, very British. I like this.
Right? Yeah. It is very, very British. And as a couple people in the chat have spotted, that is Billy Piper.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, such a crush on her as a companion in Doctor Who. As
Rose. I know.
Eccleston's companion.
Mm. Well, and
I guess into what's his face?
David Tennant.
Tennant, yeah, right.
Yeah, well into David Tennant, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a heartbreaker of an episode when Rose left. So, yes. Anyway, so this book is called We Play Games, and it's an Audible original. So, if you have an Audible account, this is one where you can just put it in your library. You don't have to spend a credit or any money or anything. You just get it.
Included.
And,
cool.
Yes, and it is really good. I found it really, really fascinating, and it switches between it's all told in the first person, but it switches narrators throughout, and so you get some of Effie you heard there, and then some of Ben, the husband.
Dan Stevens.
Love
from,
him
from Legion, and a bunch of other things. Yeah,
love
he's
guy.
Great.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, really the good.
New, the new voice of Corvo on Solar Opposites too.
Yep, Dan they Stevens. May they oh, should funny. Never get rid of him doing that. By the way, he's so.
I
good.
Agree. Yeah,
that's that's an improvement. Like, fantastic. Sure, yes. Anyway.
So this book is great. It's basically there's this couple who they move around all the time and they play games with people and each other, as the title suggests. I mean, essentially they kind of con their neighbors and swindle them out of things, and then they move around. And
oh, that's cool. It's not cool they do that, but it sounds like...
It is a fascinating story. Brian, I think you in particular would really like this
story. I'm already intrigued just by... And the fact that it's done kind of as an audio drama a little bit is what I'm gathering.
Because there's a huge cast, as you can see. I mean, it's mostly... Yeah. It's mostly Effie and Ben, but as the book continues, you get sprinkles in of several other people. And you also get these little interstitials of online forums where people have created these little groups of their victims essentially. It's like a support groups online.
Oh, I love
of
it.
Of these people's victims.
People have been horribly manipulated by this couple.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Oh, and, this sounds great. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it's really, really interesting. And at first I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be one of those books where I hate everybody. But maybe not so much. Maybe there's some, maybe there might be some redemption in there for some of the characters.
Okay.
That's very cool. And,
yeah, it's a really good little listen. I ripped through it in a couple of days of, you know, just listening to it while I was doing chores or doing work or whatever. And it's really, really gripping. And of course, you know, those voices, you can just listen to them.
Oh yeah.
You know, forever.
Yeah. Yeah, she has an amazing voice. The Housemaid is this lady's first book, Sarah A. Denzel. And this is only her second book. I'm always blown away by the fact that people with one or two books have huge hits on their hands like this. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me want to write a book. We should all write a book. Everybody write a book and then give them to Amy, and then Amy will judge them. And then before you know it, we'll be New York Times bestsellers with our second books. Yeah.
We'll have our own little reading list. Like Oprah has her book club list. We'll have our own little reading list, like the TMS reading list.
Let's do it.
Excellent.
Let's do it. I love
it. We need a stamp to put on the corners of the artwork for all these over on the website.
There you go.
Yeah. Fantastic. You can 3D print the stamp, Brian.
I'll 3D print a stamp.
Look, we all contributed. We got it done.
Exactly.
We play games in Moxie. Brian, are those going to be on quicktms.li today?
They're already there. With something else, right? You get something, a little bonus for us.
I do have a little bonus this week. So I wanted to mention just a little self-brag here. It was so exciting. One of my friends, Stacey Gordon, she is the puppeteer who performs Julia on Sesame Street, who is the autistic Muppet that they've added. And she got the opportunity to go and be on Tested with Adam Savage.
Cool.
And she was there to sort of teach him the basics of how to puppeteer on camera. Which is harder than it sounds. And Adam very quickly discovers how difficult it is. And it's amazing and adorable. But the super exciting part for me was that she heavily featured Peeper's Puppets. Mm. And
oh, cool. Good.
That's great.
So awesome to see. And I was like, she sent it to me a few days before they dropped the episode, and she called me. She's like, okay, I have to tell you a thing, but I need to be on the phone with you because I like need your real-time reaction. Like, I need to know how you actually react to this. And when she sent me the picture, I was like, oh, I was like, I see why you wanted my reaction. Oh my God. You know? And so it was super, super exciting. It dropped last Monday, so not yesterday, but a week ago Monday, and we have been inundated with orders for Peeper since then.
Good,
super exciting.
Some fantastic publicity. Holy cow!
Yeah, well,
right.
Done.
And so now it's like, now I get to say, as seen on Adam's Tested, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, so that's the other link that I sent you there. If you wanna throw that up, or you know, throw that somewhere where people can find it, I'll throw it in the chat also. Cool. Real quick, I wanted to mention too, Scott, when y'all were talking about the sleep stories and such earlier, I have something similar. So if the one that Brian sent you, if none of those like float your boat, there's a similar one on an app called Calm.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Calm's
they
good.
Have sleep stories, and oh my gosh, they're my favorite. The one that I have listened to like easily in the double digits, possibly over 100 times, is Cillian Murphy talking about being on a train in Ireland.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So good. Yeah, and like, also they've got like Tom Hiddleston reading Winnie the Pooh, and I mean, all kinds of great narrators in there. And they have like, just plain, you know, meditations where it's like, okay, now it's time for sleep. Brian's right, though. They all start with, so before we get started, make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
Get your favorite pillow. Get into a position where you're nice and comfy and you can just relax. You know,
take
like
a deep breath.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be great to hear Cillian Murphy actually do that part, because I wouldn't hear anything else after that. I'd be done. Like,
you'd only hear Cillian Murphy tell you how to get comfortable right. and you're done. That's it.
Now take a deep.
I mean, you laugh.
Trying to
but
see over the Peaky Blinders.
That's pretty much where I zonk out as well. Is like Cillian Murphy starts telling me it's time to go to bed, and I'm yeah. like, okay, yeah, yep. all right, I'm good.
Well, good news. Harry Styles has one. Let's play a sample here.
Oh yeah.
Here, get a little sample. On. Here we go.
I'm Harry Styles. And tonight, I'm going to help you drift off to sleep.
Okay, cool, dude.
I just turned 30.
That one, I've tried that one. I don't like it because it's a poem.
Yeah.
It's like everything. Oh, really? It's in like couplet rhymes. And so I found my brain actually not deactivating because I was like, oh, how's he going to rhyme that? That word or whatever, you know, like, that's I don't funny. Know. It was distracting for me that it rhymed. So yeah. I like the ones like the train ones are great. There's a lot of train ones. I guess, you know, people think that's relaxing to be on a train ride.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that is where there were a lot. Yeah. And better sleep as well. I think I need to try Calm because when my current month subscription runs out with Better Sleep, maybe I'll switch over. Cause I do like a little celebrity, action in my ears. Yes. I
yeah.
said but that's yeah. the one that Mrs. Crazy Neighbor really raves about is Calm. So,
well, Calm is fantastic because like on like annually, they will have a sale where you can literally buy like a lifetime membership and then you never have to pay for it again, mm-hmm. Which cool. is what I have. So, and it's expensive for an
it
app,
is, but it
if
is
you
pricey.
Think about it, yeah. But if you think about it in terms of like, you know, it's like $50 a year or somewhere around in there, $50-$60 a year. Mm-hmm. But then if you only have to pay that $60 once, which they do, but like around Thanksgiving ish time.
Okay.
They'll,
it's like a lifetime
have a sale.
Yeah. When the app first launched, though, I hope I don't have this wrong, but I think the guy who came up with this app is the same dude that did that. You remember that viral thing where it was 1,000 little squares and you could pay to advertise something inside of it?
Oh yes, it was a little pixel, like little slightly bigger than pixels, and you could zoom out, but you zoom in and you could find your set of pixels.
I don't remember what that was called,
or by a block of them or something. That was the same guy.
That's
really.
That guy, I believe. I think I have the story right.
Funny.
And this was his next big thing.
Million dollar webpage.
That's
there
it.
There you go. That's it.
And it was a weird moment in internet history. But anyway, this is his thing now. And when this started, it was free. Then it was very cheap. For a lifetime thing. It was like $3 for the app or something. Then they had to change it to monthly. Then they changed it to being more monthly. So right now it's $15 a month. Or if you do the yearly, it's only $530 or $583 a month. That's a big savings.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But that's still yearly. So I like the idea of waiting till it's
yeah. So it's like cheap. 60, like you're saying, like $59-$60 a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, wait till it's wait for the Black Friday deal. All right. Yeah. I'll sit on Better Sleep until then, and then I'll jump into the buy it forever.
Oh, that's deal. A good idea. Yeah. You've already kind of got something that's working.
They seem to do that like once a year, and I'll let you know. I'll keep it in mind, and I'll let you know. Like, hey, Calm has their lifetime thing.
Yeah. Cool. I think it's this guy. I hope I didn't get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the dude. I can't remember now. There was some connection with that guy. Anyway, what else? That's it. Hey, this was great. All this reading and you being here. What else can you ask for? Really?
What else? I mean, well, I'm going to be in Vegas, so you know, yay! You can ask for that. Very excited.
Hell yeah.
I'm very, very excited.
Excited to see you guys.
We're sad for the reason. Well, not sad for the reason. We're sad that the thing that almost pulled you away from Vegas didn't come through, but we're happy that the end result of that, the byproduct of that, is that we'd get you in Vegas.
Yeah, and don't worry. Yeah. OnlyFans will give you another chance down the road. It's fine. Oh, wait. I've talked about the wrong thing. Sorry. My bad.
Show us your feet.
Show us your...
A whole different...
Show us your Muppet. Give us your Muppet feet. I want Muppet feet
right now.
Maybe they want Muppet feet. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
There you go. Peeper's feet.
Yeah, Peeper's feet. Well, Amy, it's always good talking to you. Have Peepers. A fantastic time, and I hope to see you in a frag situation soon. Bye now.
All right.
See you in a frag situation.
See you in a frag situation. Not sure what that means, but okay.
I don't either, other than I'm going to shoot her with my rocket launcher. That's all I know.
Oh, gosh.
Or
it's
my...
not getting any better.
Nope, it's not. My flat cannon. Nope, still not getting good.
Nope.
Forget the whole thing and forget I ever said anything. Hey, Brian, we're done, except I do want to say today, speaking of games, today at 12 noon, I will be playing some Warhammer 40K. What's the name of the damn thing? Whatever.
It's called Warhammer 40K Online or something?
No, it's a shooter co-op thing, and my brain just went dead on the name of the stupid thing. Anyway, I don't know why I didn't write it down earlier, but me and Bo and John, we're doing core play today at, like we try to do on Tuesdays now, and it'll be at noon, go till about 3. Darktide, thank you, chat. Jeez Louise.
Darktide, cool.
That game has gone through some amazing changes recently, and we thought it'd be a great time to pick it up and do a little co-op. So we're going to play that today on stream. That's at 12 noon if you are interested in such things. What else? That's it. Hey, everybody, we got a website. It has all our links on it, including stuff we talked about today, things we do when it comes to requesting songs, our Patreon directly, all that kind of stuff. You can find it at frogpants.com/TMS. Let's get out of here with a song, speaking of which, from Brian. Brian, do you have the song?
Tootin'. This one actually is way, way, way delayed. Oh, I take that back. I guess actually was... Oh, yeah, this is way delayed, but I had to get to it. Anthony Pennigan, who goes by Ant P-Man in the chat room. Hello, Scott and Brian. This year on January 29th, I turned the big 4-0.
Whoa!
I would like to request any cover song featuring a rap song turned into a rock song or a rock song turned into a rap song. I really like From Ashes to New, Forgot About Dre, but that might be too sweary for TMS. Thanks for all that you guys do. I'm a daily podcast listener. I usually start first thing the next morning as I walk my dog. Also, one final question for Brian. I believe you stated when Marvel Snap officially released, you were collection complete. Have you been able to maintain all that with the new card releases? No, I have not. I have. I don't spend money on cards, but I will get good cards using collection tokens or using the... I use the... what you call the spotlight keys. If I need two of the cards in the spotlight key selection, I'll go for that as well.
How many new ones are there? Are there a ton of new ones here recently?
There have been, I would say I'm mostly collection complete. I'm probably 90%, but I don't have Eliath, which is one of the big like meta breaking cards right now, or it was anyway, until a couple changes. And I don't have some of the new ones that came out, I guess. And there's a couple new ones even coming out today that I might get, because I've got 4 spotlight keys. So I could guarantee getting both of the new cards.
Well, I guarantee of all the people I know who are playing that game, you have to be the most collection complete compared to anyone.
Yeah. I mean, my collection level is 10,689. Take that for whatever it's worth, but
sure. Well done.
Still loving the game. Taking a break from while I wait for new content in Disney Dreamlight Valley. I'm back to playing Snap a lot and still loving it.
Nice.
Although Death Stranding has been taking some attention from me as well.
What do you think of that so far? Just curious.
So far I really like it. But I see what you mean. A lot of cutscenes, a little bit of action. Yeah. But I'm still really early into it, so
yeah. I have to admit I'm very intrigued about the second one too, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm curious. Yeah, you'll have to let me know what you think as you go, because I kind of dropped off pretty early on that game, and I missed out on the amazing part. I don't know.
Right Right, exactly. Anyway, cool. So there you go, Anthony. Yeah, how about a rap song turned into a rock song? This one's fun. One of my favorite bands from the 90s, a group that had a hit with what was their big hit? The song that I loved was a song called 7475, which is really good. It's a band called the Canals, and for a compilation called When Pigs Fly from 2002, they contributed this version of Cypress Hill's Insane in the Brain. That is definitely not the song that you know by Cypress Hill. Here are the Canals.
the white on the flam for your temper. Just toss that ham in the frying pan like spam. And done when I come and slam, then I feel like the son of Sam. Don't make me wreck shit, hectic. Next stick a check, I'll be going like General Electric. And the lights are blinking, I'm thinking it's all over when I go out drinking. Oh, thinking my mind slow, that's why I don't fuck with the big 4-0. Bro, I got to maintain, cause a cracker like me is going insane. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. To a shit undercover, I was torn from the blubber, the blabber, to watch that belly get fatter, fat boy on a diet. Don't try to jack your ass like a looter in a riot. Mike's just fat like a sumo, slamming that ass, leaving your face in the grass. You know, I don't take him too low, lightly. Punk's just jealous cause he can't outride me like Kick That Style. Wicked, wild, heavy face cracker never seen me smile. Put that mainframe, I'll explain. Casper like me is going insane. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Louis Armstrong played that trumpet, I'll hit that bomb and break you all something soon. I got to get my props, cops come and try to snatch my crops. These pigs wanna blow my house down and run the grand to the next town. Get mad when they come raid my pad when I'm up in the night, real scared. Yes, I'm the pirate pilot of this ship. I get with the ultraviolet gleam, hot from the red light beam. Not that you believe in the unseen. Look, don't make your eyes strain. A stoner like me is going insane. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, friends insane, got no brain. Insane in the membrane.
If we make it, it can take it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.